This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to In Depth, presented by the San Antonio Express News. My name is Luis Vasquez, and I'll be your host as we bring in journalists to give us an inside perspective into the stories they bring to the Express News each week. Today, I'm joined by staff writer Elena Briss. She joins the show to discuss her latest environmental and water reporting. Welcome to the show, Elena. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Well, let's talk about a couple of your articles that you've had in the past 2 weeks, I believe. The first one I want to talk about is about the mussels returning after a 100-year absence. Do you want to give me just a quick little rundown on that one?
Sure, yeah. So the San Antonio River Authority has been doing work with mussels for quite some time. And what they're trying to do is eventually reintroduce certain mussel species back into the San Antonio River. There haven't been mussels in the San Antonio River for a very long time. I think since the 1930s, when there was a lot of flooding in San Antonio, and they sort of created the river to what it is right now. And that really helped everybody from getting their properties flooded, but it also really kind of screwed up the ecosystem and it got rid of the mussels that were in the river. So now they're trying to bring them back. And that's the hundred year gap. So I went out with one of their researchers, and he showed me some of the work that they were doing on the river.
So why are mussels so important to the ecosystem?
That's a really good question. So they make the habitats stronger. And part of the reason for that is that they help the food chain. So there's like these little bugs at the bottom of the river, and fish eat those little bugs, and then, you know, larger fish eat those fish, and you know, the food chain. The mussels stabilize the sediment at the bottom of the river so that those little bugs can keep on living. So if the mussels weren't there, then there's not going to be as many of those little bugs. And so that can kind of be a detriment to the entire food chain ecosystem. Another really interesting thing about mussels that I had no idea about was that they're indicator species. And so indicator species, it's a type of species that's in an ecosystem. And usually when you realize that there is something going wrong with them, there's something going wrong with the environment. And it's usually like the first sign-ish. So if you, let's say there's a section of the San Antonio River and there's mussels in it, and suddenly there's less mussels in it, or the mussels that you're seeing are sicker, they're not reproducing, they're not as heavy, they've got this girth to them, so they don't look very good, you're going to think, okay, there's probably something wrong with this section of the river, and we need to find out what it is, because we're noticing that these mussels are not doing very well. So that's another really important aspect of having mussels in the river. And then I think, like, generally, mussels are just a part of the entire ecosystem. So if you've removed mussels from an ecosystem, there's going to be impacts to that, even if it's not something that you notice specifically. When you like remove an aspect of that, that's going to change other parts of it. So I think when people think of like, oh, what's going to happen if we don't have this creature, we don't have this fish, or we don't have this animal, there's going to be this economic impact. But that's not always the case. And so it really kind of is like, what is your ecosystem worth to you? And do you want it to be the healthiest it can be, even if it's not necessarily a direct impact to you, because you want the land that's around San Antonio to be doing well. So I think that's another part of it.
Well, thank you for that. And speaking of species that are beneficial to the environment, you wrote another piece about an invasive species. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. So I went through the Edwards Aquifer Authority. So they're an organization that pretty much does everything with the Edwards Aquifer, which I'm sure most people know what the Edwards Aquifer. We get a large chunk of our water from the Edwards Aquifer in San Antonio. But another aspect of what they do is they look at invasive species. And so invasive species are creatures or plants that are in an area that kind of overpopulate it. So a regular native ecosystem, everything is kind of working all together. But when you bring in something that's foreign, into that ecosystem, they might be able to thrive more in that ecosystem than where they were from. So they could take over and they could really damage the other plants and wildlife that are in that area. So what they're trying to do is they're going into areas, and specifically for my story, I looked at San Marcos. They're going into San Marcos natural areas and they're trying to cut down and remove invasive species that have been there for a long time. But what the interesting part of it is that there are certain invasive plants that you can buy in San Antonio or in surrounding areas at big box stores like Walmart or Lowe's or something. And you can put them into your yard, but you might not know that they're invasive. And well, you're thinking, okay, well, they're just in my yard, so they're not going to infect like other natural areas. But certain invasive plants and most invasive plants, the reason that they're invasive is they're so good at staying alive and they're so good at populating. So their seeds will blow all over the place. They'll blow into natural areas. Birds will pick up the seeds and they'll poop the seeds over into natural areas. And suddenly this invasive species that you bought at a Walmart is like totally taken over a natural area that's like 4 miles away from you. So I think part of the work that they're doing at the Edwards Aquifer is that they're saying, okay, we're removing these invasive species that are harmful to the environment. But also there's something that you personally can do, which is try to just incorporate native species into your garden, into your property. So then you can keep the entire area that you live in safe. And there's a lot of species that you can definitely just replace. So the one that I focused on was the purple trailing lantana, which is from South America originally. When it gets into forested areas, it can kind of stop the growth of trees and other plants because it's this like low to the ground plant. And lots of people plant it in their yard because it's so pretty. It's got this beautiful like purple flowering but you can replace it with other plants. There's the Texas lantana, which might have yellow flowering instead, but it's much better for the environment. It doesn't overrun other plants. And if you're looking for that low to the ground kind of plant, then that's a good way to go.
This wasn't in your article, or maybe it was, and I just missed it, but is this something that can be like, why is it still being sold in stores if it's so maybe if it takes over like that?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I think that large box stores, those big ones that you go to like Lowe's, first off, they might not necessarily know or they might not care because they're really popular plants and they've sold them all the time and people buy them and they look really good in yards. They tell people, oh, well, you know, this will attract monarch butterflies, other butterflies, other plants, things like that. And people will buy them. So I think it's an educational thing as well. It's like making sure people just know that this is the case because not everybody knows. And they'll just go to these stores that will sell these plants no matter what and plant them in their yards.
And from invasive plants and ecosystems, the last article I want to talk to you about was about preservation, the preservation of Honey Creek Ranch. Yeah. Want to talk about that for a minute?
Sure. Yeah. So this is a really complex issue that I kind of just got into because I started this position not that long ago. So Honey Creek Ranch is this area that's about, I want to say, 30 miles north of San Antonio, and it's upriver, which is actually south of Honey Creek State Natural Area and the Guadalupe State Park. And that's all in Como County. And this ranch has been owned by these owners for a long time, since I think the 90s. They've taken really good care of the property, which you don't always see when people own a natural area like that. And more recently, they decided that they wanted to sell the property and make a high density subdivision in that area instead, which when that happened, there was sort of this outcry from the conservation and environment community, because Honey Creek is one of the last remaining very pristine waterways in South Central Texas. And subdivisions are notorious for, you know, depositing runoff that could have pollution that could get into this like really pristine water. And since it's upriver, all of that will flow through Honey Creek State Natural Area and the Guadalupe State Park, and it'll go into the Guadalupe River. So everyone was really concerned about that. And it just seemed like could be hazardous for the environment. So there was a lot of conversations and discussions about that. But just very recently, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, with the help of the Nature Conservancy, they're trying to purchase the land from the owners instead of the owner making it into a high density subdivision, and making it into a park, which would be so much, at least for conservationists and environmentalists, and even the owners themselves who really just want what's best for the land. They think that sounds like a really great idea. But there's a lot of caveats to this acquisition. And it's an ongoing issue. Even this week, it's an ongoing issue because the owners who are originally going to make it into a development, you know, they already have some contracts in place for like water and things like that. So, it's ongoing. I know that people who are proponents of the park and the acquisition, from the Texas, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, they're all really hopeful that it's going to go through, but we're probably not going to know for sure for the next couple of weeks. But it's just been really contentious for a long time, and people are just hoping that it doesn't become this subdivision. So yeah.
And you mentioned right when you started talking about this one that you haven't been with the Express News that long. You're actually part of Report for America, like another one of our colleagues, Brandon Lingle, was. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what brought you to the Express News and a little bit of your background, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. So I'm originally from the Midwest. I am from Iowa, but I've lived in Chicago for the past 5-ish years. And I was doing environmental reporting there, focused on the Great Lakes and more lake kind of issues, Midwestern issues. They were really different than Texas. And I was doing that for a while. And then I am a huge fan of Report for America's mission, which is to place journalists in areas where they need coverage of a certain sort. And so I got the position for San Antonio. They were looking for somebody to cover environmental issues, and specifically issues that are over the Edwards Aquifer. And it sounded really great. And it's just such a different environment than what I'm used to, which is, you know, the Great Lakes, which is a totally different ecosystem. And then coming down here to Texas, where it's just the environmental issues are very different. So yeah, that's kind of the trajectory there. And I've been liking it a lot so far and learning so much about, you know, Texas environmental politics and regulations and the ongoing everyday fights that people are having to protect their environment. That's the story.
Well, it's good to have you on board. This is fascinating. I can't wait to do this again. Thanks a lot for being on the show, Elena.
Yeah, of course.